Chapter 18. Elizabeth was even more disappointed at the Netherfield ball, where she was told by Mr. Denny that Mr. Wickham had gone to London. I also suspect that he wished to avoid a certain gentleman here, added Mr. Denny, with a significant smile. Elizabeth was so displeased that she could barely even speak to Mr. Darcy. Her mood did not improve during the first two dances. Mr. Collins was an exceptionally poor dancer. Elizabeth felt terribly awkward and could not wait for their dancing to end. After that was over, she revived her spirits by dancing with an officer and then by talking to her friend Charlotte Lucas. Suddenly, Mr. Darcy appeared and asked Elizabeth to dance, and in her surprise and confusion, she accepted. Elizabeth was annoyed at herself and was not enjoying dancing with Darcy. She made a few sarcastic remarks and then took the first opportunity to mention Mr. Wickham. The effect was immediate. Darcy said nothing and was stiff and cold. Eventually he responded, "Mr. Wickham is lucky to have such good manners that it is easy for him to make friends, but he is not so capable of retaining them." "He has been unlucky to lose your friendship," replied Elizabeth, "and in a manner which he is likely to suffer from all his life." At that moment, Sir William Lucas approached them.
"It is a pleasure to watch you dance. I hope it is repeated, especially when a certain desirable event takes place, Miss Eliza," said Sir William, glancing at Jane and Bingley.
Darcy seemed startled by this reference to his friend, and looked in the direction of Bingley and Jane with a very serious expression. Later the same evening, Elizabeth spoke to Jane and asked her what she had learned from Mr. Bingley about Mr. Wickham.
"I have nothing satisfactory to tell you. Mr. Bingley does not know the whole history, but he is sure that Mr. Darcy is not to blame. It seems that Mr. Wickham has been very imprudent and has deserved to lose Mr. Darcy's regard.
Mr. Bingley knows only what he has heard from Darcy, and Darcy's opinion means nothing to me," replied Elizabeth. When they sat down to supper, Elizabeth was further annoyed that she was seated between Mrs. Bennet and Lady Lucas, to whom her mother talked carelessly and at great length about her hopes for a future marriage of Jane and Mr. Bingley. Elizabeth could see that Darcy, who was seated opposite, could overhear the chatter. She pleaded with her mother to speak more quietly.
"What is Mr. Darcy to me that I should be afraid of him?"
was Mrs. Bennet's response. Elizabeth blushed with shame. The disaster continued for Elizabeth when her sister Mary started singing. Mary's singing was no better than Mr. Collins's dancing, and after two songs, Mr. Bennet had to tell her to stop. As soon as she stopped, Mr. Collins began a pointless and boring speech about singing. Some of the party were amused by his foolishness, Mr. Bennet in particular, but Mrs. Bennet commended him on his sensible words and remarked to Lady Lucas that she thought Mr. Collins awfully clever. When the dancing continued, Elizabeth could not get away from Mr. Collins. She refused to dance with him again, but because of his constant presence by her side, she was unable to dance with anybody else. The evening had been dreadful from start to finish. Mrs. Bennet, on the other hand, was perfectly satisfied. She was confident that two of her daughters would soon be married. Although Mr. Bingley was a far greater prize than Mr. Collins, the latter was good enough for Elizabeth, who was her least favourite daughter. Chapter 19. The next day, Mr. Collins asked Mrs. Bennet, very politely, for a chance to speak to Elizabeth in private. "Certainly," exclaimed Mrs. Bennet. "I am sure Lizzie will be very happy." Mrs. Bennet was without doubt very happy, but Elizabeth was not.
"Mother, I beg you, do not go," she pleaded. "He can have nothing to say in private that he cannot say in public."
"Nonsense, Lizzie. I insist that you stay and hear Mr. Collins."
Elizabeth had no choice. As soon as the others were gone, Mr. Collins began his speech, which, as usual, was very long. He listed his many reasons for marrying, including the fact that he had been advised to do so by Lady Catherine de Bourgh, and also that he felt an obligation to marry one of the Bennet girls, since he was to inherit the Longbourn estate. Finally, at the bottom of his list, he mentioned his affection for Elizabeth. At this point, Elizabeth could take no more and interrupted him. "You are too hasty, sir," she cried. "You forget that I have made no answer. Let me answer now. Thank you for the compliment, but I must decline your proposal." "I am well aware," smiled Mr. Collins, "that it is usual for young ladies to refuse proposals of marriage 2 or 3 times before they accept. I admire your modesty and am not at all discouraged." "I assure you that I am serious," cried Elizabeth. "You could not make me happy, and I am convinced that I could never make you happy." Mr. Collins continued with his lengthy offers of marriage, and Elizabeth continued to refuse him. He would not listen to her refusals, though, and eventually she left the room in silence.